Hi, everybody. I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my way home from work as a classroom teacher and school instructional coach. These podcasts are about 10 minutes in length apiece. I try to record them before I hit the big bridge and make the left-hand turn so I can head home to my house. But since I'm in DC traffic and I have a lot of time to kill in a car, I love to sort of idea dump and brainstorm here. So think of these like 10-minute coaching sessions where you can take an idea and put it in your classroom like today. So this week we're going to be talking all about Flipgrid. If you've never used Flipgrid before, what it is, how it works, and what it can do. And if you have used Flipgrid before, or if you listen to this podcast and have ideas, I would love very much to continue the conversation on social media. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU, at like the at symbol, Meehan like M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, and EDU like teaching, because I like teaching, and I'd like to talk to you. So, I say that every week, but I mean it every week. So let's talk this week about Flipgrid and how we can talk to each other, because Flipgrid is all about student voice and amplifying student voice in a meaningful way so we can get their feedback and hear what they have to say and maybe even see it too. If you hear the blinker in the background, I really do record this in my car. So I apologize if there's any horns or any people who are shouting at me because of my driving. But regarding Flipgrid, if you've never heard of it, we'll walk you through the brass tacks this week. And if you are using it, we'll talk about some advanced functionality, some cool stuff you can do with the tool. A bit about Flipgrid, it is a video sharing platform. It is totally free right now, which is a new development. Actually, I'm recording this in the summer of 2018. It was purchased by the Microsoft Corporation, and it was made free to every educator in the whole wide world. So that's cool. It allows us the ability to, as teachers, have access to their video sharing service for life. And I guess in some ways, I'm being savvy about it, maybe I'm talking it out loud. Since Google owns YouTube, I'm wondering if Flipgrid is Microsoft's attempt to get in on the education space. And that makes sense. I mean, not that they're already in the door there, but by purchasing Flipgrid, they do now own a lot of video content and all the metadata that comes with that. But it gives students the ability to respond via short video to a prompt. All those videos are then collected and they're dumped right into a grid, which is password protected, so only members of your organization have access to it. So a typical prompt question could be, hey guys, we just read chapter 4 of The Scarlet Letter. What was the thing that really struck you as weirdest or most odd in last night's reading? Go ahead and submit your short videos here. Students then take their cell phones or their devices using a webcam or using the native phone video recording service right on their iPhone or their Android. With the app installed, everything that they do is right there in the app. So they don't have to like upload a photo, upload a picture. There's all those tools are right there in the app for them. Students respond and say whatever they wanted to say. And when they're happy with their video or when they've met their requirements, they go ahead and hit the submit button. And it lets them take a selfie. Then they have the ability to put some stickers on, very like Instagram style things. So you can put like a puppy nose or, you know, funny looking ears. And believe it or not, as dumb as that sounds, it actually has a real value, which I'll talk about in a moment. But then that whole video is posted to the grid, which then every other student in the class now has the ability to see. And there's a bunch of really good stuff that can then happen from that. Because you've taken a conversation and said, look, let's pretend we had a snow day. Bad news, guys. We lost today to class. Enjoy the day at home. But I do want to check in and make sure that you're still getting your research papers done. Why don't you go ahead and post a quick video to give us a heads up about where you're at. And these videos don't have to be long. As a teacher, you can set the time parameters as low as like 30 seconds or as high as like 5 minutes. And so it lends you the ability as an educator to get out of it what you want to get out of it. Now, in full disclosure, if you have a class of 30 students and you're doing 5 minutes of video for each student, there is absolutely no way you're going to have a chance to watch every one of those. That's like almost 3 hours worth of video watching. But what's cool is because all these videos are posted to this grid, every student in class has the ability to likewise post and comment and share on one another's videos as well with a social media type sharing platform. So imagine you had responded to somebody else's Snapchat story or Instagram post. This does the same thing. And that's one of the reasons why they let students have that customization where they can put those stickers over their faces or put the the puppy dog ears or the sunglasses. All of game-based research leads us to understand that the more time a user spends in creating his or her avatar, her digital avatar, the more investment or ownership they will feel in that thing. There's a great book about gamification by a man named Yukai Chow. The book is called Actionable Gamification: Beyond Points, Badges, and Leaderboards. And it talks about this, what he calls a core drive, behavioral core drive of ownership. People want to feel like there is something that is theirs. And that makes sense. If you think about when you were back in college, right? You signed a piece of paper about how your dorm room looked. And at the beginning of the year, you want to make sure that at the end of the year, it looked about the same so you didn't get charged for any of those things because you owned that. Those mistakes were yours. But at the end of the year, there's invariably always hall charges assessed for the common area, right? Somebody always made the microwave look messy, or someone smashed a door or did something stupid, with a chair or a table or a window in that room. And it's that tragedy of the commons is that, well, if you don't own it, if you don't put your own stamp on it, it doesn't really feel bad when it breaks. So that idea of that ownership is so empowering. And then played with the social element that students can all see one another's responses, it's a nice, easy way to make sure that if students are posting their videos, they're proud of their videos. What's great about the video sharing piece of it, too, is if you record a video and you don't like that video, you always can re-record it. I've had students who've done a video, like first take or second take, and like hated it. And when you hear your voice on tape, you always hate it. It took me a long time to get used to and comfortable with hearing my own voice on tape. And that's even amplified all the more so if you're like an adolescent or a teen and you're still going through, you know, puberty, or you're still going through growth and development. Maybe you're dealing with, you know, skin issues or just, you know, awkward teenage years kinds of stuff, glasses and, you know, haircuts and trying to figure out who you are and then having to watch that back on tape. It's tough. So the good news is, as a scaffolding measure, you as a teacher don't have to require them to put their physical faces on the video. You can let them do sock puppets. You can let them just take the video and point it to the sky, or like hold up an illustration of what it was and just explain away the illustration from behind the camera, sort of like the Wizard of Oz, like the voice off the screen. But it does require video responses from every single person, which is good in a way because it does help our students practice that 21st century college and career ready skill of presentation. Whether you're an architect, you're an engineer, or a coder, or a developer, or an Uber driver, you will need to talk to people. Even if you're talking electronically, you'll need to be able to communicate. As business does stuff like Skype and e-meetings and like telecommuting, many people today are working with people all over the world and communicating to them both via email or Slack back channels, but also via like all these platforms that are video sharing, screen sharing, hosting that we can log in and see someone else's face from, you know, thousands of miles away. And so that's really important that we take even those students who may not feel comfortable with the standard deliver style presentation and get them comfortable with those same skills. And Flipgrid is awesome for it because it is in a safe, protected environment that the only people can hear you talking are the other people in your class, which is nice. Likewise, as an educator, it gives you great analytics and feedback about the amount of times that students have spent engaging with one another videos. Each video has like a play count, and they can like and favorite and put little stars and things like that. You can also give feedback individually to one another. So let's say everyone makes their video as homework night one, you can assign it so that everyone goes back in on homework night two or night three and has to make comments on one another's videos or responses, even video on one another's videos. So the conversation keeps happening. Like if you've ever taken an online course where there's a web forum and you log in and you have to make one original post and reply on two different ones before the deadline or something like that. But it's nice because, again, student voice is so amplified by the way that the platform is designed. And there's a real level of student choice, too. You don't have to feel like you have to respond to video A or B or C. You can choose video A or B or C because the soft skill of practice of how to do that is awesome. Likewise, you can have a Flipgrid station in your classroom if you have a younger classroom or if you have a centers-based classroom or a project-based classroom where you just devote a small area in the back of the room. Either you get like a small pop-up tent or a small, even a cardboard box with an iPad and let students lean in and make their videos about whatever the topic is on a day-to-day basis. And then you're always gathering that information so you can then look back at it at the end. Likewise, you can also download all the videos for yourself and then upload them to a class YouTube channel or to an LMS, which is super helpful to then pay it forward for forever. And it's great for back to school night because then parents can see, hey, here's what you know, little Tommy did in class. And here's the exact presentation, what it looked like, and how proud he is about that. And you can see that growth over time because it's played out there in a very clear visual medium, which is super empowering. My students love Flipgrid. I've used it at the high school level, and I've worked with teachers who've used it at the elementary and the middle school level as a coach. And we really see great feedback when students know that their name is there. They take it that much more seriously. And when they see their faces there, it gets awkward, but they'll practice two or three times to get it exactly right, which means that ultimately everyone wins because what we're getting is a higher quality work product. And then learning through that reflection, or seeing ourselves play it out and say, ooh, I don't want to look like that. Let me do it again, which is really kind of wonderful too. So yeah, that's Flipgrid in a nutshell. Thanks again for listening. If you are using Flipgrid or if you are thinking about Flipgrid, I would love to join in the conversation online and hear from you. Feel free to tweet at me, at mehanedu, and I'll be back next week with another topic. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.